Episode number 242, Staying Connected with Your Church Through Uncertain Times, with Tyler Smith. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome to Making Sunday Happen, the definitive podcast for those who plan, create, and execute worship experiences. Well, it's been a blast hanging out with you guys each and every week through our Monday roundtable discussions, through the podcast, through Facebook. I love you guys, and I love spending time with you, and I want to thank you for those who have reached out to me, and we've gotten to interact either through a quick email or text message or through the roundtables or Facebook or wherever it might be. I really appreciate you reaching out, and I'm trying to reach out to as many people as I can. I love hanging out with you. I love seeing what you're doing in your church. I love seeing what's working, what's not working, and wrestling through this stuff together. This is uncertain times for everybody. Guys, I don't know all the answers. Our team doesn't know all the answers. We're wrestling through some of this stuff with you guys, and so we're taking what we're learning from you guys and helping distribute that out and things like that. So thank you so much for the relationship that we have with you. We love serving the church, and so it's just been a blast to get to know more of you guys over the last few weeks. I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty exhausted. We were heavily involved with the Easter Across America broadcast over Easter that went to several million households. We also produced the children's services for Seeds Family Worship, and we still are. Those are still going on every single Sunday night on the Seeds Family Worship Facebook page, or you can go to seedsfamilyworship.com for more information. Those are great. Those are like 30-minute children's services. They include lyric videos with hand motions that we've made for Seeds. There's a message on there for your kids. It's a great time to gather the family and do family worship. So we've been producing those. We've also produced dozens of designs and videos for you guys. We've produced all kinds of resources for COVID-19. Why do I say all this? I say that because I'm a little tired, and I think that you can relate between working over what we normally do to make Sunday happen, plus just the heavy weight in the air of things that are going on, and when are we going to get back to normal? All that's kind of hanging in the air right now. So I'm sensing a little bit of fatigue in myself and you guys. So here's my encouragement for us this week. Let's lean into some time with Jesus and some time with our families this week and in the weeks to come. So let's find some ways to recharge if we can so that we don't burn out. And one thing that has really helped me through is reaching out to friends. So through text messages, through Zoom calls, through social media, through phone calls, talk to people that you love and care for. I've gotten to know a lot of you better over the last few weeks, and those leaders in our tribe, we've been on the phone together, and it's just been great to cultivate deeper friendships with the people that you know and love, and also the people that you might want to get to know better. So I want to encourage you to do that. Reach out to your coworkers, your volunteers, your team. It will refresh you. All right, and speaking of communication, today's guest on the podcast knows all about that. Today, I welcome Tyler Smith from Text in Church. Now, the plan was to have Tyler on the show later this year to talk about some different things, but I reached out to Tyler, and I asked him to come on early so that we could chat about ways that you can stay connected with your church through uncertain times. And I can't wait for you to hear today's interview. All this month, Tyler's company, Text in Church, has been our sponsor. So they've been sponsoring blog posts and podcast episodes, and they are gifting a 60-day free membership to anyone who signs up for their platform. 60 days completely free. You can go to textinchurch.com to get started, textinchurch.com. Here's a little bit more about Text in Church, and then we'll jump right into my interview with Tyler. Here we go.
Text in Church is a communication platform to help churches to engage in authentic ways with their community.
We're not a tool that replaces the human interaction, because we know that's really important, but we're a tool that helps facilitate it and gives us opportunities to have that human interaction, whether that's going for coffee or meeting somewhere for a church ministry. That's what we're all about.
Text in Church saves pastors and churches time by automating messaging system, but in an authentic way where they can actually engage with people and open the door for communication.
My favorite feature about Text in Church is our app. It's so convenient. You can open up your phone and you can see the notifications of people responding to your email or text message blast, and you can respond right then and there.
To set up Text in Church, it takes probably about 30 minutes of your time the first time. Then once you have everything set up, everything kind of just runs smoothly with little to no effort.
To go to the next level, if you want to create, you know, customized automated workflows, you know, you can spend a half hour or so and have that implemented. But here's the important piece is once you invest that time getting it set up, those are going to work for you time and time again. So the initial investment of time and energy to get it up and running, to get it set up for success, is minuscule into the amount of time that you're going to save when week over week it works for you 24 hours a day, scheduling and sending those messages that are going to matter a year from now or 6 years from now, because you're going to have built relationships with people and they're still going to be a part of your church community.
Hey guys, today I welcome Tyler Smith. Tyler is the co-founder and CEO at Text in Church, an incredible company that helps churches thrive through text and email. We use Text in Church, and it's incredible. In fact, Tyler, I was going through content that you wrote to kind of prep our time together, man, and just always impressed with what you guys do to help churches with text and email and communicating to not only their congregation, but their community. So, man, thank you for what you do, and appreciate your time today, man.
Carl, I am so excited to be here. So thank you for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to sharing some really practical things that churches can implement and get starting to see improvements, you know, this Sunday.
Yeah. Well, we had planned to have you on the podcast later this year. I know you guys are working on stuff that we were kind of planning to coordinate later this year until the world blew up.
Yep.
And so we were like, man, let's get Tyler in to talk about communication, because obviously communication is a big deal, especially in uncertain times. So walk me through that. How are you coaching people to communicate through times of uncertainty?
Yeah, so I think we got to start as we as church leaders, we're human, and this is hard. Like, this is really hard what we're going through, both personally and professionally. Like, leading through this is a challenge like we've really never encountered ourselves before. And so I want to first start by saying, and church leaders have stepped up in such amazing ways. Like, think of the transition we have made over the last weeks, where we went from thinking that we needed to do church in a building to being forced to doing church only online. And we've thrived through this. So I want to start by saying props to all the churches that weren't doing church online. They had no online capacity and they figured it out. That's an amazing step that we've taken. And there are some things that we can do, really simple things that we can do to just enhance our ability to do this. So what I want to talk to us about is, how can we reach more people online? How do we get more people to actually show up online? And then how can we get their contact information, just like we would in a normal setting? How do we gather first-time guests' contact info? And then how we follow up with them? So if we can piece those three things together, and that's what I hope we can do in this call today, if we can do those three things, we can have a profound impact on our ability to reach our communities. And I know, Carl, that's exactly what this podcast is all about, is how do we do Sunday better to reach more people?
Yeah, exactly, man. So this might be a no-brainer question, but what happens when churches build strong relationships with people in their community? What are some benefits of that?
Yeah, so we believe here at Text in Church, this is the only reason we exist. We believe that when churches build strong relationships with their people in their community, then people thrive and grow spiritually. That's all we exist for, is to facilitate that. And I think it's really simple, but the impacts are enormous. And so all we try to do is just help church leaders to build those strong relationships, knowing that those relationships will then help the people to thrive and grow spiritually.
Good. Okay, so I want to get into these three strategies that you've put together to help people communicate. All right, so let's dive into number one. So strategy number one is this idea of the online attendance bump. So one thing that I read that you guys researched that was awesome is by sending two simple text messages at the right time, you've seen that we can increase our church online attendance by 10 to 15%, right? Tell me the research and what you guys are finding there.
Yeah, so it sounds big and glorious and like, wow, there's no way that's possibly true. But if you just look at the data, all we're doing is sending an invite at a time at the right time. And by doing that, you're gonna be able to get people to come on because you've broken down a barrier. It used to be that people had to plan, they had to wake up early, they had to take a shower, they had to get dressed, they had to get in the car, get the whole family in the car, get the kids breakfast, and then get to church. That can be a challenge. We don't have that barrier anymore. So in a lot of ways, this is a really awesome opportunity to reach people that really have no intention or desire to go to church today. We wanna change that. We want them to want to go to church someday, but today they might not, and that's okay. And so all we have to be able to do is send a timely message to somebody and encourage them to show up and give them a link. So now they're one click away from being at your church. So all of those other steps of getting dressed and getting in the car and getting there, those are all gone. They're literally one click away. They can be lying in bed. They can be sitting on the couch. It doesn't matter where they are. They're one click away. And so what we have seen is, well, let me just start with, can I share a couple statistics Absolutely. About text messaging?
Yeah.
So we're a text company, okay? So I believe in texting as a communication, an effective communication channel, but it's not to say it's the only one or even the best one. They're all different in different ways. So they have their pros and cons, but text messages, 26 billion text messages are being sent every day. So everyone at your church is sending text messages daily. So, and that's everyone. That's the older folks, it's the younger folks, it's everyone in between. Mm-hmm. And here's why this is happening is because 90% of text messages are opened and read within 3 minutes. 3 minutes. So if you compare that to email, right? Email is going to have maybe a 20% open rate. And we all know that open rate's not what we're after. We want a read rate. That's not a trackable thing. But think how many emails you have deleted probably today that you didn't actually read. You didn't even like pretend to read them. You just literally hit delete the second it opened. Text messages, that's
you
not
sent
how
me
we operate.
Three today that I did that.
Perfect. See, proving my point.
Just kidding.
But it's factual. Like that's how our brains are conditioned. And that's not a knock on email. It's just, that's how our brains work. If we notice that we think that's a newsletter, boom, we're hitting delete before we ever even thought about it. Mm-hmm. And then here's the piece that I think is the most important is that text messages have a 45% response rate. You compare that to email. Emails, if you're doing really, really well, you've got a 6% response rate. And so responses is actually how you form relationship, right? The conversation is what we're all after. And so if we can send out messages that are written in a friendly tone and are going to get someone to respond and talk back to us, it's those conversations, that authentic relationship building is what's going to get them to actually show up on a Sunday. And so that's what this is all about. So really these two text messages, there's nothing magical about them. It's just leveraging basic human psychology. People want to be a part of what you're doing at your church. They do, but life gets in the way. And so if we can send these two messages at the right times, then we can overcome this. So good. Carl, can I share what the two simple messages are?
Absolutely, please.
Okay, so this is my challenge to everybody is just write these down and try it. Because it will work for you too. It's worked for everybody. You're going to get more people to show up. So the first message, and there's nothing magical about these, I promise. I'm going to let you down when you hear what they are. But the first message, you're going to send it on like a Thursday at 1 p.m. So right in the middle of the day. And all it's going to say is, hey, Carl, it's Pastor Tyler here. Really looking forward to online worship this weekend. Be sure to invite a Facebook friend. Okay. Again, a simple message, but what it's doing is it's planting a seed that there's something you're going to be a part of on Sunday. And we're also weaving in a simple way to do an invite. And because it's a Facebook invite, that's so much easier to do than real life. Like inviting a friend to come to worship on Sunday, it's kind of hard. It can be challenging for a lot of folks, right? Like us church leaders, we do it all the time, but that's not normal. Most of the folks that are in our pews on Sunday, that's not a normal part of their life. That's hard. It's challenging. And so this makes it really, really simple. So I see this online worship as a huge opportunity for us to reach more folks in our community. And that is one of the ways that we can do it. And then here's the other one. This is the more important of the two messages. The second message is simply this. Hey, good morning, Carl. I hope you can join us for online worship. We'll be going live at 10 a.m. Here's the link. And then you give them the link right there. Okay, so by sending that message like 1, maybe 3 hours before service starts, or even on Saturday night, you're planting that seed, you're giving them the actual link where they know exactly where to go. Because that's the part that I think we as church leaders are often missing is this is new to everyone, especially everyone that comes to church every Sunday. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to show up on Sunday. And so that link can be hard to find. If you're streaming from Facebook, Facebook threads can get confusing. And if it's too hard for people to find, they'll give up. So send them a link, send it in an email, send it in a text message, get everyone you can that link. Because once they have the link, then it's easy for them to share. It's easy for them to comment, to interact, to engage, to build community. It can all be happening right there online. And by sending those two messages, you're going to get people to show up that otherwise life would have gotten in the way. So it's not actually reaching new people other than the invite. It's just getting your people to show up more regularly. And that's something that we all struggle with. And this is a simple way we can help plant that seed and make, get them to show up, get them to be there and be a part and engage in what we're doing.
Good. So you guys, obviously, text messaging is a very, very big deal. But how is it the church's responsibility? And I've heard you talk on this before. How is it the church's responsibility to accommodate my communication preferences? So anyway, I'll let you answer. I got opinions, but you go
okay.
For it.
Yeah. So I would argue it is not the church's responsibility to tell all our people what communication channel they should prefer. It's not just our responsibility. It's not even possible. We can't do that. So it is our responsibility to accommodate everyone's communication preferences. And one of the ways that we can do that is by leveraging all of the channels out there, right? Like I'm not on Instagram, but some people are. So Instagram should be part of or could be part of your communication strategy. Email is something I do every single day, but there's other people that have thousands of open emails in their inbox. That would drive me crazy.
Yeah, me too.
So for me, send me an email, it's perfect. Send me a text message, it'll even be faster, but it's perfect. But there's other people that don't. And so we can't know everyone's preferences. We can ask and we can try to accommodate those things, but when it really matters, we have to leverage all of the communication channels that we have at our availability. And we call that the golden rule of media is if something truly matters, if it really, really matters, you should use everything you have at your disposal to reach that person. And I would argue a first-time guest coming to church and inviting them back, that truly matters. And so we should be doing everything we can to reach that person.
So how do your templates and things like that, how do they translate to maybe communication tools that are not text? So if you put a message together, yeah. How do you translate that to an Instagram post, a Twitter, things like
that? Yeah, so within the Text and Church platform, we send three types of messages. We send text messages, obviously. We send emails, and we also send reminder messages because we recognize that not everything can happen in an automated fashion. So like, let's look at guest follow-up, for example. You might have 10 different steps that you're going to do as part of your guest follow-up. Some of those are emails. Some of those are text messages. We can fully automate those. That takes care of those. But I think we should also make a phone call. And so one of the ways that we can do that is send a reminder message to somebody on staff that says, Carl was here on Sunday. Will you please pick up the phone? Here's his number. Pick up the phone. And here is the voicemail script. Because you're probably not going to answer. It's going to be some random phone number to you because you won't. It'll be a new phone number to you. So that's not a reason not to make the phone call. That's reason to do it really well. Leave them an amazing voicemail that makes them feel known and noticed and loved. And that's a really amazing touch point we can have. We can also send a reminder message to somebody on staff to say, go and friend this person on Facebook or write this person a handwritten note or like any of the other things. But there are pieces that we have to use the human interaction side. The more we can connect with them on the variety of channels, the better off we are.
Good. Let me rabbit trail here for a second and say, when I was on staff at New Spring Church in South Carolina, we quadrupled our volunteer team on the media production staff. And the main reason we did it, and people were like, what? People don't want to serve in production. But the reason why how we accomplished that was follow-up. So we had a process that it was on paper when you would call people or, you know, we would have a follow-up process. You know, we want you to text people. We want you to call them. We want you to follow up. And another thing that I did was I actually during downtimes, because on Sunday morning, if you have multiple services, sometimes there's downtime between those services. I would take thank you cards and put them on the table in our hangout area with envelopes, with a roster of our team, and have people send messages to follow up with people, to thank them for their service, that sort of thing. And we would address them and send them out. But I say all that to say the follow-up and the human interaction and the personal touch was the key. It wasn't the random automated text that you know is a script. Like it's that plus the personal touch that really skyrocketed the ministry. You want to speak to that?
Yeah. And I'll even go a step further, where the automated text, if they're done correctly, they're going to feel natural and authentic. And the important piece is people will reply. And when they do, that's when the real communication can start. So the automated text isn't the end, it's the beginning. It's the start of a conversation. That's all it is for. And so think secular world, like what's your favorite business? So like, there's probably like a local business in your town. Like what's your experience when you go there, and how does that make you feel? And what are all the little things that they get right that go a long ways? And that's how we have to think about the church, is what are all the little things that we can do that will make especially a first time guest, make them just be like, wow, they noticed that we were there. Like it really truly mattered. They were prepared for us. But even beyond that, they made us know that they cared for us. And it's all little things is how you do that. It's not one big thing. It's not just give them a gift. It's all the little things. And the gift could be a part of it, but that's not the end. That's still just one little step along the way. And the more of those touch points that we can have that come off in a positive manner, the more likely they are to feel connected and build that relationship. And that's what's going to start to bring them back week after week, is when they start to have friends at church. Yeah. And friends are a huge reason that people will start to come and then continue to come and build their relationship with Christ. Like all of those things are happening at the same time. And I think sometimes we forget that.
Good. All right, let's get into strategy number two. You talk about gathering your attendees' contact info. So walk me through this strategy.
Yeah, so one of the things that we know is that 100% of the time, if we fail to adequately follow up with the first time guest, or if we fail to get their contact info, 100% of the time we're going to fail to follow up with them because we don't have a way to do it, right? So if we don't know you were there, then we can't follow up with you. And we know some statistics, like only around 16% of first time guests are ever coming back. And so we have to do things to overcome that. We have to get better at that. And maybe your church is already at 30%. That's awesome. But let's get to 40%, right? Like no matter where we're at, we can't be satisfied. We have to improve. And so one of the ways that we can do that is to get really good at getting our first-time guests to provide their contact info. And then when they do, now we can start a follow-up process. So we've already been talking a little bit about how do we do the follow-up, and that's going to be the third strategy as well. We'll go a little deeper on that. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that if you don't first gather their contact info. And so that is, I think, one of the biggest stumbling blocks that the churches reach is, my first-time guests just don't give me their contact info.
So what's the trick? What's the secret sauce to gathering their info? You use the, tell me about the cornerstone method.
Yeah, so we use a strategy called the cornerstone method, and it's just basic human psychology. It is helping people to understand what it is they want from them and what's going to happen when that occurs. And so it's kind of a four-part process. So the first part is a welcome, where you specifically say that if you're new here, you're welcome here. We are glad you are here. We're prepared for you. We want you to feel known, noticed, and loved. And so by calling them out in a friendly and intentional way, you start to break down some of those barriers. And so just let them know that, hey, we see you and we're glad you're here. And then the next one immediately, and so that's maybe 10 or 15 seconds, right? But then immediately next, we need to connect with them. And so one of the best ways I think you can do this is to just be sincere and tell them, why do you love this place? Right? Like, why do you love this church? So I've got two little kids. So maybe for me, it'd be like, you know, one of my favorite things about City Church is our children's ministry. I know my kids are upstairs right now having an awesome time. And more importantly than that, they're learning about Christ from people who truly love them. And so as soon as I say that, everyone in the room who has kids is like, oh, yes, that is awesome. That's what I needed to hear. Right? So like when I'm looking for a new church, and we actually did this just a couple of years ago, it was a miserable experience. My kids are both very, very introverted. And so taking them to church was not fun for them. They did not like, no matter how good your church was, they would not have liked it. And so as parents, that was a real, real struggle for us. And so that was the most important thing. And if you could help us to overcome that, like, you're our people, like, you care about kids as much as I do, mm-hmm. this might be the right place. Now I'm willing to take other steps. So yeah, there's more to it, but that's just helps to break down walls, helps us to feel connected. And then the next thing is desire. And you just tell them, what do you want? Right. So in the seat back in front of you, pull out your, there's a connection card there, pull that out. And if you would just fill that out, you can put it in the offering plate. Today, we don't want you to give anything monetarily. We would love for you to just put that in the plate. Or if you're online, you could say, hey, text the word welcome to this phone number. There's a million different ways we can do it, but whatever we want, be very clear and intentional and tell them what that is. And then real quickly after that, you have to answer the question, why? Because they're already asking it in their head. Why do you want that? So you have to tell them, say, you know, you've got some amazing people here and I'd love to be able to, for you to get connected with them. And we're going to send you some emails and some, and a text message to let you know a little bit more about this community. So if you're looking for a faith home, we want to give you all the information you're going to need to know that this is your new faith home. And so if you can do those four things, welcome them, connect them, tell them what you desire, and then tell them why you want that. If you can do those four things, what you'll do is you'll start to build a little bit of trust. And when you build trust, then people are willing to share their information. If all you do is say, hey, if you're new here, fill out the connection card, no one's going to do that, or very few people are going to do that because they don't yet trust you. And so everything we need to do in the beginning of a worship has to be centered around, if I were new here, are we building trust or are we taking trust, breaking down trust? Everything we need to do, it has to build up that trust so that as quickly as possible, we can get folks to say, yeah, I do want to learn more about this place.
Flesh out the connect cards a little bit more. You guys use a digital strategy as well when it comes to connect cards. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we think there's probably three really great ways that you can gather contact information. One is the traditional connection card or pew pad. You know, somehow people are going to write down their information. For some people, that's the best way to do it. And if you're worshiping on Sunday in a church, definitely something you should consider or do. There's also another option of having a welcome kiosk where at that you could have a connection card where people are still going to write it out, but there's a human part to it where you can talk to them. And that conversation is good for some and it's not for others. For somebody who's very introverted, they don't want any part of your welcome kiosk. For someone that wants that connection, they'll come right over there and you can build an awesome connection. So those are both important aspects to be aware of and be noticing. And then the third one is a digital connection card. And so you can do that from your church building on Sunday, or you can do it online just by saying, hey, if you're new here, we'd love for you to text the word welcome to this telephone number. And then when people do that, we'll text in church, we'll just text them right back, give them a link to a digital connection card. It's just a form. And they'll put in their information. It's branded with your church, your colors, your logo, and everything. It gathers their contact information, automatically puts it into text in church, and starts your follow-up process. So there's no problem of, oh man, I can't read this card. They gave us all their info, but I have no idea what their phone number is, or I have no idea what their email is. They'll put it right in there and send that out. And what we've learned is that people are different. This kind of comes back to the question of, hey, we can't tell the people what to prefer. So like, for example, within my own family, if you ask me, or if you ask my wife and I to text welcome to that phone number, I'm going to whip out my phone number and I'll be texting it before you even tell me what the number is. My wife will never do that. She won't pull it out and she won't text it. Likewise, or the inverse of that is if you said, hey, fill out the connection card, that's in the pew in front of you. I will never do that. I'm never, ever going to do it because you're not gonna be able to read it anyway. And I know that. That's just something about me. I can't write and you're not gonna be able to read it. So I'm not gonna waste my time doing it. It's not comfortable for me. My wife would be the opposite. She would grab that and she'd start filling it out. So people are different. So if we can provide options without adding confusion, but just offer those two options, then that can be a really powerful way that we can gather that information. And then the more important part is we can start the follow-up as soon as we get that.
One thing I noticed about your digital connection cards, and you can correct me on this because I've seen a few forms from you guys, is it's very minimal. It's first name, last name, email, phone number. That's pretty much it.
That's it.
Maybe yep. One other thing. I like that because, okay, I'm not going to spend 15 minutes and see a progress bar and good gracious, when is this thing going to be over? Very quick, 2 minutes, I'm done. What's your strategy behind that?
Yeah, we just know the data, especially coming from the secular world, like I think every business out there is trying to figure this out. What's the best, easiest way to get the most information from people? And what we know is the less you ask, the more people will fill it out. So the fewer questions you ask, the more. And so we think that it should just be first name, last name, email, cell. Now you might say, no, I have to have their address because we're going to go and deliver a coffee mug to their house. And it's this amazing wow experience and it's worth it. Okay. If you're going to use their address in a way that you think is worth maybe losing 1 or 2% of people that are filling it out, then do it. But if you don't normally do anything with that address, don't ask for it. You only ask for something that you are going to use to build relationship with them, because you can get their address later on, right? If they're a first-time guest, we don't care what their kids' names are. We don't care what their address is yet. Like, there will come a time that we want to know their kids' names,
right?
But we don't care today. Today, all we care about is being able to follow up with them in meaningful ways. And so that's super, super important. You don't have to ask for their social security number and all the other lists. And you definitely see some churches have on their connection cards, you know, 20 fields. That is, without a doubt, that is making less people fill that out. It's not that people in your head, it's not that you only fill out what you want. If you see that this is going to take a lot of work or it's asking something you're not yet comfortable sharing, I'm done. I'm not going to fill it out at all. It's not just that I'm only going to give you what I do want. I'll just quit. And so when people quit, then we have no ability to follow up with them. So yes, Carl, I think that's a really astute observation, is that we want to ask for as little as possible. To kind of taking that a next step further is we have something we call a Smart Connect card, which is a multi-step form. So instead of asking them for first name, last name, email, and cell, all we ask them for is, what's your first name and last name? And then we say next. So they push that in, we say next. Then we say, what's your email? We say next. We say, what's your phone number? And we say done, right? So by doing those little micro steps, that makes it even easier. And you get a small bump. It's not massive. It's not going to take you from 10% to 90%, but it'll take you from 52% to 57%, or, you know, there's incremental improvements. And that's what this is all about, is how do we make incremental improvements to reach more people?
All right, let's hit with the third strategy, and that is live stream guest follow-up. So now we have their information. How do we follow up with them?
Yeah, so I think follow-up is something that is critically important. That's the reason Texan Church exists. We were started in a church plant out in Sacramento, California, my older brother's church, and we were created to solve that one problem, is how do you do guest follow-up really well and without it just being a massive amount of work? Because if we're honest, doing guest follow-up effectively is hard. It is really hard work. And so that's what we set out to do. And so we're going to leverage some automation and some basic tools so that we can do follow-up over the right duration, so the right amount of time. And we're going to send messages in the right frequency, so we're not going to spam them and do it too often or not enough. And then we're also going to send the right type of content. So some will be text messages, some will be emails, some will be reminder messages to make us do the phone call, to deliver the coffee mug, to write the handwritten note, to friend them on Facebook. All of those things can happen on the other side. So the duration, those three pieces are really, really critical. I'll cut to the chase. The duration, we believe it should be 6 weeks of follow-up. And you might be saying, whoa, I can't do that. That's way too many. It's not, because they have a life pattern of not coming to church. And it's our job as director of hospitality or a follow-up, it's our job to break that life pattern of not coming to church. And one of the ways we can do that is to love on them, make sure that they know that they're known and noticed for those 6 weeks. So that looks like in a frequency. So now that's the second piece of this, is how often are we going to be messaging them? One or two messages a week for 6 weeks. So some are emails, some are texts, some are phone calls, all of those different communication channels we have. We want to leverage those in a soft and gentle pattern where we're going to be reaching out to them. And then and that's the other one, is the content, is how do you do that?
I was going to ask you, how many people fall off? How many people are like, God, leave me alone?
Very, very, very few. So every message we send, whether it's text or email, you obviously have opt-outs, right? But here's the thing, is you're not selling them anything, right? Like if you got on Pizza Hut's text list and they're like, hey, we got a pizza special, another pizza special, that gets annoying really quick and you're going to opt out. That's not what we're doing as the church. All we're doing is reaching out to people, checking in on people, caring for people, extending a gentle invitation either to worship or to other events that your church is doing. All we're doing is just starting a friendship. So like, think about like myself, when I first started dating, who's now my wife, right? Like the first time I asked her out, she said no, actually. Right. And so, but I didn't give up, and I didn't like stalk her or creep her out. We saw each other again, and I said, man, I really like you. This is, I would like to go to dinner sometime, go grab coffee and like get to know each other. And by gently taking those steps, I didn't ask her to marry me. That would have been weird. Right. So we're not saying like, hey, join our church. All we're saying is, hey, we have this thing called Coffee with the Pastors where you can come and have coffee and ask questions and get to know a little bit about us. And there's going to be other people that are new to the church there. And so you might make some friends while you're there, like saying those types of things. Now people are like, ah, okay, that's cool. Yeah. Or you're just checking in. You're saying, hey, really excited for worship tomorrow. Hope you can make it. That's all you're saying. Send that in the text message on a Saturday morning. And people are going to be like, oh, look, Pastor Joe just sent us a text. He's wondering if we're going to be at worship tomorrow. Like he was thinking about us. And then we're going to write back and we're going to say, no, sorry, we're out of town. We're going to grandma's house. And Pastor Joe's going to write back. And he's like, oh, awesome. We'll have fun at grandma's house. Hope we can see you next weekend. Or Check in. Maybe there's an opportunity to do ministry. Maybe it's, no, actually, grandma's really sick and she's in the hospital. And we have to go and check on her. There's an opportunity for ministry there. And so that's what we want to make sure, that every message we send is very, very intentional, that it's friendly, it's inviting, and it's opening a conversation so that we can minister to these people no matter what circumstance they find themselves in.
Maybe this is the same question, but where is the creep factor line? Like how much do we, when is it friend trying to make a friend, and when does it pass the line of creeping people out?
You know what, Carl? So we've been doing this for almost 6 years now. I think what we find is that churches are so cautious of that they never reach it. Right. So like, going back to the dating thing, right. I'm an introverted person. Like there is no chance I was going to be too, forward with who's now my wife. There was no chance of that. Right. It was really, really a big step for me to say, hey, would you grab coffee with me? So we, as the church, are more like that shy, timid guy in that scenario. We are too often, it's not that our follow-up is too much or too long or too of anything. Our follow-up is way too often, way too short. So a lot of people that we talk to, their follow-up process is like two things. It's, we're going to send them a form letter and our pastor is going to make a phone call to them. That's we'll add them to our newsletter. That's not effective follow-up, right? The newsletter isn't pertinent to a new person. So that doesn't even count as follow-up. But the form letter, hey, that's better than nothing. That's a step in the right direction. The phone call, that's awesome too. But what about 2 weeks later when they've now essentially forgotten about you and you're not doing anything to re-engage with them? Mm-hmm. That's where we find most churches are falling short, is that they're just not doing nearly enough. And again, if you're writing your messages in the right way, and we have templates for all of this that we're happy to share. If you're writing your messages in the right way, no one is ever going to say like, oh, Pastor Joe, quit texting me, because he's only going to text you 3 or 4 times. And every time it's inspirational. It's encouragement. I'm here for you. There's this little thing going on. I'd love for you to be there. That never becomes annoying. And the other thing that I'll add is, as church leaders, this is hard for us to see ourselves this way oftentimes, but if I'm new to the church and I come and I watch you preach on Sunday, and I then get a text message from you, I then get a phone call from you, I get an email from you, I'm like, wow, that was Pastor Joe just sent me. It's inspiring. It's like we put pastors up on this pedestal, and sometimes it's deserved, but most of the time it's, we see them as different, as awesome, as cool, as someone that I want to get to know. I want relationship with that person on stage. And that gives us this freedom to be able to send out a message and have it perceived in a positive way. It's we're not at all like that Pizza Hut. What we're doing is building relationships. We're not selling anything. We are just inviting people into the story that we're telling every week.
Give me some tips on making automation sound friendly.
Okay, that's a really good question. So when you send out when you create an automated message, okay? So whether this is meaning a message that you're gonna send out to 100 people right now, like a group text message you're gonna send out, or if it's part of your automated guest follow-up process where you're gonna have it right at one time And now every time you have a first-time guest come, they're going to go through this six-week process. Mm-hmm. Either way, when you write those messages, you have to look and sit down and think of one person. Think of that family. If you're doing guest follow, think of that family that sat right over here on the right side in the pews, or if we're still in the digital world, that face that popped up there for a moment that commented. Think of that person, singular, and write the message to them. And when you do that, you'll be in just a tone and a it takes it off of this grandiose thing. If you're writing a message that's for everyone, it's for no one. But if you write a message for one person and send it to lots of people, every person that reads that is going to feel as though that was for them. And I think that also leads into the concept that we talked about, where automation plus personalization, that's what equals effective communication. And so when you send out a message, like just for a guest follow-up one, you might say, hey, Carl, super excited for worship tomorrow. The music is incredible and the coffee will be hot. Hope you can make it. Right? So just something along those lines. So I called you by name, and then I told you a little bit about why you should be there. I made it sound fun and exciting and something you want to be a part of. And then ideally we can end that with a gentle question. Hope you can be there. And then that gives you the opportunity to write back and say, yes, I can, or no, I can't. And so that's what we're wanting to have happen, is people reply. And so if you're questioning, hey, am I doing this right? Yes or no? Are people replying? If people are not replying to your message, then you're doing it wrong. You're coming off like a robot. So text messaging was never meant to be a megaphone and to scream out your message. There are times for that. You know, if you're canceling services for some reason, then yes, grab a megaphone and yell out, hey, we're canceled today. But that's not what we as the church are normally using as the communication channels for. Normally, we're trying to build relationship. And the best way we can do that is to just be conversational.
Good. All right. As we wrap today, give us one thing that we can start implementing right away. If I start implementing this stuff in the next 24 hours, day or two, give me one thing that I can take and do right off the bat.
Yeah. And that could be different for everyone who's listening. But I think one of the easiest things we can do is we can implement a digital connection card. Literally all that is within a Texan church account. One of the ways that you can do that is you literally set up your account and you add a group, and boom, we will create all the digital connection cards for you. So you don't actually have to do anything other than say create a group, and now you have a connection card that will tie to that group. Everything that we've talked about today can be as simple as a few clicks. And so I think that's really, really important for us. So think through, what are the strategies that we can do? Maybe it's hey, I'm just going to text everyone on Sunday morning to say, hey, worship is starting in an hour. Right? So that's an easy thing to do. Whether you have text in church, you can do it mainly if you're in a small church. But somehow, some way, text everyone this Sunday morning, an hour before you go live, and you will see an increase in attendance because they'll have that link. It just makes it so much easier for them, and people are going to show up. So whatever your one thing is, this is how I love to end every presentation that I do, is if you've spent time and you're still listening to this, there is at least one thing that you've learned from this that you can go and implement. Just commit right now. In the next 24 hours, I'm going to do that one thing. Because this podcast, everything that we do learning-wise, I'm an avid learner, right? I love to learn. But learning in and of itself is not that helpful. Learning combined with then implementing what we learn is what becomes really, really helpful. And it's not that we have to do everything, just little things. And so find that one thing for you and go and do that right now. Get that done today.
Good. All right. Through the COVID crisis and beyond, so for the next 60 days, I'm not sure when it stops for you guys, but you guys are giving a free trial of Text in Church, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So when all of the COVID crisis kind of started to happen, I pulled our team together and we said, look, how do we serve? Like we're uniquely positioned to help churches. How do we live into this? How do we best serve? And so our team decided that we wanted to give Text in Church Pro memberships away to any church that wants one for a full 60 days. So all you have to do is go on our website, textinchurch.com. There's a banner up at the top. You can click that. You can grab a completely functional. So it functions as a trial in that you don't pay for it, but it's not like a trial membership. It's a full-blown Pro membership that's yours for 60 days. You can send up to 2,000 messages each month. So you'll have 4,000 messages between the 2 months that you can send. Because we know that this is a way that we can serve. Churches are doing incredible things right now in response to the COVID pandemic. And we, as Texan Church, we have this one little spot that we can fill, and we can help churches to more effectively communicate with their members right now. And they're first-time guests that they're reaching as well, but your members need to hear from you.
Yes.
Right? Every little bit of fear that you're feeling, they're feeling that too. And they need to know that Pastor Joe is there for them. And that can be a text message that goes out and just says, hey, just checking in. We'll be praying for you, but let me know if there's anything that you need. And you're going to get people that are going to say, yeah, you know what? Something I do need is we need a way to be able to give back. Like, we're feeling disconnected. How can we as a church, how can we serve better? And you're going to get people that will answer that question for you. And so then your church is going to be able to do more and give back in really, really, really profound ways. But you're also going to get messages, people saying, you know what, man, we're running low on food. And there might be an option or opportunity for you to come in and do ministry in a way that maybe your church has never done before. And right. And that can be daunting, that can be scary, but that's what the church is for. And so I want to challenge you to do that. I think that's a really, really great way that we can do it. And if we can be of service to you, grab that free membership, because we want you to serve your people, serve your community at the highest level you possibly can.
So a couple of weeks ago, I did a deep dive of about 50 churches online on Sunday. And then Easter, I hit a lot more. But one thing that I found that was very interesting is that it was a lot harder to dig for updates and information than I thought it would be. I thought that most churches would put their stuff right on their homepage. Here's a video from our pastor about COVID-19 updates. Here's our plan of action. We're going to meet online. We're going to do this. Here's our live stream. Here's that sort of thing. And I found it surprising that a lot of churches I had to dig so much. Why do I say that? I say that because communication is what is needed right now. People need to know, where do we meet? How can I ask for help? How can I give help? What are the times that we're meeting? Are we doing what are we doing? And where's my pastor at? How, you know, getting the information out is so key right now. And I think that you guys are strategically placed to help people communicate well. So I was talking about homepage, but I think a homepage mixed with text, mixed with email, mixed with phone call. I mean, all that communication matters more than ever right now. I think so. You guys are killing it, man. You guys are doing such a great job. And if you want to check out Text and Church, now is the time to do it. Textandchurch.com. Feel free to go and check them out. Tyler, you guys do amazing work over there, man. Thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for all you're doing to serve the church through this, especially through this time.
Yeah, thanks. Well, have a great day, man.
You too.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Well, hey guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. I want to let you know about a couple of things as I leave you this week. Number one is, be sure to sign up for the free 60-day membership of Text in Church. You can go to textinchurch.com to pick up that free membership. They are a really great company to help you stay connected with your members and your guests throughout the week. So textinchurch.com, be sure to check those guys out. Second thing is this. We've released several book resources over the last few weeks. Steve Dirks and Derek Walker from our team have been cranking out books like crazy. Our ultimate live streaming guide has flown off the shelf, hundreds of you guys picking that resource up, and we pray it's really helping you step up your game when it comes to live streaming. So 1230.media/livestream guide. 1230.media/livestream guide to pick up that resource today. That one is absolutely free. Number three, I also want to tell you about our resource, The Zoom Guide for Churches. It's all about how to set up and use Zoom for your church. So this book includes everything from setup and sign up to joining your first meeting, scheduling meetings, all kinds of advanced tips, and more. Everything your church will need to know about setting your team up for online community through Zoom. It's only $5. So I want you to go to 1230.media/Zoom guide to pick that up. 1230.media/Zoom guide. We are working hard to provide resources that will help you win during this season. We love you guys. We are here for you. You can email me at carl@1230.media. That's all spelled out. Spell everything out. Carl@1230.media. Well, thank you guys so much for listening and watching. Go out there and create some incredible online worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.